Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That'll get you on the program here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the radio tonight and just pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory, Lord. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to people tonight. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. And we just pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and depending on where you're at, it may be warm, it may be raining, it may be snowing, it may be doing none of that, I guess, but it's in northeastern Ohio, we're finally having a little bit of winter trying to find us here, and so it's not bad, though. I said it's starting to look a little bit like Christmas out here right now, and that's Christmas time here in northeast Ohio this year was kind of mild and just sort of green and muddy more than anything else, but a little coating of snow out there. It's coming down nicely and a little bit of a chill in the air out there. And in the 20s, I think it was 26, I think it was, or 29, I guess it was when we were coming up. But at any rate, in the upper 20s, and we're expecting some more tonight. Hope that where you're at, you're staying nice and warm. And if you're down in Florida or somewhere down that way, it's probably a nice warm night down there for you. So, but wherever you are, or whatever the temperature is, I hope you'll stick with us this evening. And like we said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call. Our phone number is toll-free. It's 888-677-9673. And you can always visit us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more information about our church, and you can find out more information about the program, about myself. You can listen to past programs there. I've got some articles and stuff that are linked in there, and just recently put together an article and posted it actually on December 31st on my Bible reading plan, and if you want to check that out, you can find it either on our Facebook page, we have Live with Pastor Al on our Facebook page, or you can go to livewithpastoral.com. The article is linked to there, and our Facebook page is linked to from that website as well, and you can find that, and I just want to encourage people. As I said last week, it's a new year, and what better time to resolve to get into God's Word and to be able to just establish a reading habit. Try to read some of it every day, and I'd encourage you to shoot for 5 chapters a day if you did, just simply because you'll get through the Bible in less than a year if you keep up with that. And a lot of times I tell people that if you get behind in your reading, don't let it get too much for you. Just try to make it up if you can, or if you can't, just get back on track and just keep reading. And if you get too far behind, don't give up on it. Just start reading some more and pick up and try to shoot for it. It's like my wife's old pastor used to say, it's better to aim for something and miss than to aim for nothing and hit. And so at least you're doing something. And the more you read of God's Word, the more it'll get into you, and the more it'll guide you, the more it'll shape you, the more it'll help you. So let me encourage you to do that here in the coming new year. And Happy New Year! This is the first time we're on 2016, and on our Sunday night program. And so let me wish Happy New Year to all our listeners here this evening. And we have Daryl calling from Florida tonight. Daryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, thank you. First-time listener.
And, well, thank you.
I guess I'm very frustrated as a Christian who who's been at this over 30 years now, and it seems like pastors and churches are shying away from current events, which to me are signposts of fulfillment of prophecy, and it's like an 800-pound gorilla in the room that no one wants to talk about. And I'd just like to hear your comments about that.
Well, I'm glad you found our program, because if you caught it at the beginning, I encourage phone calls about questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And with that in mind, let me share with you a reading that we did at church just this morning in Psalm 83. And let me get turned over there myself real quick, just a moment. And let's see here. And you'll see where I'm going about current events. In Psalm 83, I won't read the whole psalm, but let me just start in the beginning. It says, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined unto them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah." And if you'll notice, this could be written about today's headlines, couldn't it? Because I won't go through all the things there just for time's sake, but certainly those nations that are listed there give us the Gaza Strip and Hamas. It gives us the inhabitants of the Sinai Peninsula. It gives us the people, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and it gives us people in Syria. The Islamic State is gathering in the Golan Heights right now with the goal of attacking Israel. This gives us the inhabitants of the nation of Jordan. And what have all these people consulted? Hamas and Hezbollah and the Islamic State and the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and all these different groups. They're saying exactly what it says in verse 4. They said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance." And isn't that amazing? And when you read that and you look at current events, you can see Psalm 83 taking place before our very eyes. I mean, this is exciting to be able to see things like that.
Absolutely. I guess my frustration is that it seems like the church seems to be growing more silent on these things than, I guarantee you, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in a Super Bowl, we would be talking about it. Everybody would be talking about it here at this in this area. But we don't talk about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I'm frustrated. I don't know what the answer is. I try to bring it up, but it seems like I got a third eye or something, you know. So.
Well, you know, and I can understand what you're saying because, and again, as a first-time listener, this is, if you go to our website, Live with Pastor Al, you'll see that we address current events with a good bit of frequency. And I pastor a small church here in northeastern Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we deal with things like this all the time. In fact, we have a Friday night Bible study, and we do this very thing. We talk about the Bible, and we talk about it in relation to what's happening in the world or what's happening in the world in relation to the Bible, because I think that one of the reasons for prophecy in the Bible is to let us know not only what's coming so we can prepare for it, but it also, it's the signature of God. I have a friend who's a former Muslim. And he said that one of the differences between the Bible and the Quran, and I've read the Quran myself, and not as diligently as or as frequently as he did in the past, but he said one of the differences, the Quran has no prophecy, whereas the Bible does. And that's one of the things that's amazed him with the Word of God, with the Bible, is when you see prophecy that was made, you know, thousands of years ago being fulfilled, you know, in today's headlines, It cries out that the Bible is different than the Quran, or it's different than some of these other religious writings that are out there. It points to the fact that that a God who is outside of time and space was able to give us this book. And another reason for studying current events, in addition to the prophecy, is a lot of things that our people and our churches are dealing with on a regular basis. They're coming into church and they have questions, and when the pastors haven't got a clue what they're talking about, when they should be giving them guidance. Let me throw out a topic there, and throw out a topic there. I was at a conference with some pastors, not last year, but the year before, and we were asked to speculate about something that we would be talking about possibly in 20 years, because the place that we were at was observing their 20th anniversary, I think it was. And people were saying different things that they thought. And when my turn came, I said transhumanism. And our caller said people looked at him like he has a third eye. Well, there's an expression like a calf looking at a new gate. That's what people looking at me like, huh? And the guy in charge said, wow. And he turned to his wife and he said, I guess we'll have to look that one up. And there was only probably, other than my wife and I, three or four people in the room out of over, I don't know how many people were there, quite a number of people who understood the term transhumanism. And more now we're finding people who are trying to come up with ways to fundamentally change humanity, merge us with technology, create some sort of a cyborg-type human being, genetically alter people. And you say, well, what's that got to do with the Bible? Well, Jesus told the people that one of the signs of what it would be like in the day that he returns, he said it would be like as in the days of Noah. And what did you find in the days of Noah? You had the sons of men, or of God, marrying the sons of man. And I believe that that was an attempt by the fallen angels to try to change and alter the human gene pool. And what we're looking at with transhumanism is an effort to actually change human genetics, to add in artificial gene sequences, to add in gene sequences spliced in from other animals and plants, to merge technology into the very body and kind of merge us into all of computers and things, and or genetically enhance, or through drugs or technology, physically enhance and create super soldiers and things of that nature. And anybody that's read science fiction, you know, it's a standard fare. People who have been genetically and in other ways altered to be super soldiers or super worker drones and things of that nature. And that's happening in the world today. And I believe that it echoes what Jesus warned about when it would be as in the days of Noah, in addition to the lawlessness and things that's going on. But there was that attempt to change the fundamental genetic makeup of humanity. And by studying current events, or keeping abreast with current events, it allows me as a pastor to be able to address things like that. And we have, I remember a few years back, we had a person in church, a young lady in church, who came up and asked me about cloning. And it was a topic that was in the news at that time, and this is over 10 years ago, and wanted to know what I thought about it. Now, I will admit, I studied biology in college. I got a biology degree, and so I had a little bit of a knowledge of cloning. But I said, well, you have to understand, cloning has taken place already. We routinely clone plants, and if anybody has ever had a begonia and you've snipped off a end of a little leaf stem and you stuck it in the dirt and you rooted it and you created another begonia plant, you just clone that begonia. We do that all the time, cuttings from plants. I remember as a young man getting a lot of plant cuttings from my grandmothers, both of my grandmothers, and some other people, and starting plants. They were clones. And so there are other ways that we've cloned things, and so we were talking about that. And it's good to have some idea of what's going on. You don't have to be a news junkie like I am, we don't want to bury our heads in the sand and say, or maybe a more appropriate analogy would say, we don't want to bury our heads into the Bible and look at nothing but the Bible. We need to know what's happening in the world around us, because the people in our churches are out there interacting with what's happening in the world, and they're going to have questions. And if they can't come to church and get a sensible answer from their pastor or from their Sunday school teacher or from the associate pastor or one of the deacons in the church, then where are they going to get it from? They're going to go to the world. And as a result, the world is not going to lead them to a closer understanding and belief in the Word of God. The world's going to lead them away from the Word of God. And so we need to have a clue. I knew a church had a lady that visited our church, and she said that she went to this church, and I knew the church, so I was able to somewhat verify what she was saying. But she said the church that she went to, her pastor told them, don't watch the television, don't listen to the radio, and don't even read the newspaper. In other words, just study the Bible. Okay, that's all well and good. We all should study the Bible and read the Bible more than what we do, myself included. But at the same time, we live in the world. We're in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we need to know what's happening in the world. And the Bible has a lot of things in it that can help us make sense of what's happening in the world. And so when we're pastors or teachers or church leaders have the opportunity to be an influence on other Christians, and we understand the Bible, and we can take what's happening in the world and relate it to the Word of God, that puts us in a position to be able to guide them into a closer relationship with the Lord and to help them to see that God does have answers to our questions. And rather than just say, well, just have faith, just believe, don't worry about it, just believe. Well, I'm sorry, there are people out there that if you tell them that, they're going to come to the conclusion, you know, he hasn't got a clue what's going on. Maybe he doesn't have a clue about a number of other things. You know, I hate to say it, but had I not gotten saved at a young age, I'd have been one of those persons, because I drifted out of church myself for a while. And one of the reasons was I had questions, and I would ask questions or think about questions, but nobody seemed to want to answer them. And it wasn't until I started getting into the Bible and talking with other believers of like mind that began to see that no matter what questions you have, you can go to the Word of God. No matter what's happening in the world, you can go to the Word of God and make sense out of it. And as we begin doing that, we begin relating the Bible to what's happening around us. And the Bible goes from being just sort of an old, dusty book that's hard to read and even harder to understand to a book that all of a sudden begins to make sense, a book that actually is just as up-to-date as tomorrow's newspaper, and it begins to help us, and we begin to learn, and it gives us a good base by which we can evaluate what's happening in the world. And I recognize not everybody is going to have as great an interest in it as I do, but I do believe God raises up some people too. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and verse number 32, the Bible says, that David had a certain number of people doing things, talking about the nation of Israel. And it says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. But you catch what that said? In the children of Issachar, this is the tribe of Issachar, there were men that had understanding of the times. They understood what was going on. They understood current events, and they were able to relate it to God's word to be able to guide Israel so that Israel would know what they ought to do. And so there's the importance right there, enough that God recognized it here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9672. That's 888-677-9673. 888-672-9673. And we have Lisa calling in from Warren, Ohio. Lisa, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Al.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, you too. What do you think about a Christian getting cremated, having their loved ones being cremated?
Christians being cremated. That, you know, that question comes up every once in a while, and I'm reminded because my one aunt, when she passed away, she actually lived down in the Tampa area at the time, and she was cremated. I remember my grandmother had a little bit of trouble with it, and I didn't really understand why at the time. And I understand now, of course, more why. I was much younger back then and didn't know as much about the Bible. But basically, Christians have traditionally been buried or entombed, and there's a variety of reasons, and I'll tie this in with cremation here in just a moment. A variety of the reasons are, for one thing, of course, Jesus was entombed. He wasn't cremated. He was buried in the tomb, and and his body was taken care of. And the belief is that by taking care of the body after somebody dies, you're showing one respect for the body, because as human beings, we're the creation of God and we're created in His image, body, soul, and spirit. But it's showing respect for the body, but also the entombment of the body shows the hope for the rapture, or, you know, the resurrection of the dead, when the dead body will be caught up and, you know, brought up out of the earth and changed into an immortal, uncorruptible body. And so there's that in there, whereas cremation, of course, destroys the body. Now, first, let me add, if somebody is cremated or somebody dies in a fire or an explosion, God is more than capable of putting that body back together as a new body at the day of the resurrection. He'll do that without any problem, whether it's been burnt up in a fire or blown up in an explosion or nibbled on by the fishes or the worms. It doesn't matter. God can do that because He's God. He knows how to reconstruct our body. But cremation typically was practiced by a lot of the pagan cultures, and one of the reasons for cremation was to release the spirit so that the spirit could either progress on to a next life or on to the next world or whatever, whereas we understand the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul said to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. For a believer, when we die, our spirit doesn't have to be released from the body by flames. It goes immediately, flies into the very presence of God. And so that's sort of a quick rundown on it. I think that I would rather be entombed myself, but it really doesn't matter in the long run. But I do think that burial or entombment is a greater picture of the hope of the resurrection.
Could I tell you my reason?
Sure,
and
let me just caution you. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left before the break. If we run over, I can keep you if you don't mind.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
It just happened to somebody in our family again, and I've been totally always against this because, like you mentioned, is that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should respect it. And if it accidentally is one thing, if I accidentally shoot somebody, that doesn't mean I murdered them. If I deliberately did it, it's one thing. But I look at, they'll say, well, you know, it's going to go back to the dust. Well, actually, I said ashes. It doesn't say ashes to ashes. It says dust to dust.
Right.
And I think by putting them in... it's just, to me, we're not an animal, but I think a lot of people are doing it because they want to save money.
Yeah.
And that is not a good reason at all, I feel. And I look at that verse in the Bible where Elisha was buried, and that somebody came along and was in a hurry to bury him, and they accidentally put him on him, and he came alive.
Yeah, came back to life. The person that fell in touched his bones.
I just get really upset to think people would do something like this because of money.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and I agree that entombment is much more in line, like I said, with respect for the body and showing the blessed hope of the resurrection, where the body will be raised incorruptible. But by the same token, I say I don't worry about it too much because I know God will give us the body that we need at the time of the resurrection.
Yeah, I don't worry. I wouldn't say I worry about it, but I think if we have gone, when we come to the place where we just respect the temple of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
plus we're made in the image of Him.
Right.
We're just not an animal or
right,
garbage
absolutely.
That we burn up.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying. And,
yeah, I pray for us to change these things in our life. It's just anything goes today.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. Well, and thank you for that.
Thank you, too.
I appreciate that. And that's a topic that comes up every once in a while. And
I know.
It can be very emotional when you're going through it.
Yeah, it is. And I pray that more preachers will preach on this thing and kind of warn us ahead of time before we make such terrible decisions.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call tonight. I want to thank you for that.
You too.
I know we're coming up on the break here
mm-hmm.
right now. So I want to thank you for that and hope you have a happy new year.
You too.
Thank you very much. And continue to pray for people because, you know, as people learn more, their opinions can change as the Holy Spirit shapes
mm-hmm.
them.
I believe that.
So
just pray for my son
mm-hmm.
has gone through this type of thing. And just pray that the note that I gave him will penetrate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks all right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're coming up on a break here. A little bit of a sound there. We're coming up on a break here in just a moment. And if you're on hold, we've got Barb on hold. And Barb, wait, hang on there. We'll pick you up on the other half of the break. Don't have time to get to you right now. And again, let me encourage you to visit our website at livewithpastoral.com and check out my Bible reading plan that I have linked to there. That'll hopefully be a blessing to you and help you in the new year. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now Let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you on the program. And let me mention a couple things real quick before we get back to our callers here tonight. Want to remind you about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. They're located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Also, check out their website at eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. That's eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself or adding pizza to an existing restaurant lineup, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. Let's get back to our program here tonight. And we've got Barb, who's been patiently waiting through the break. Barb, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Well, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I kind of hear myself.
Oh, okay, yeah. Turn your radio down if you've got that up. It'll be easier. So.
Yeah, I have a really silly question.
All right, well, let's see what it is. You there, Barb?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your question there?
What would happen if, you know, they're bombing all around Israel,
mm-hmm.
and we know Israel has nuclear weapons.
Right.
I'm sure I think I know what the answer is already. What would happen if they hit one of the nuclear places?
Well, there'd be two scenarios that I can think of. One would be if it was a nuclear reactor and it destroyed the reactor and you know, allowed the things within the reactor to be spewed out into the environment. You could have a pretty serious situation there. The other one then, of course, would be if it was a nuclear weapons depot of some sort or where some of their missiles were in silos. And that one there is kind of the thought there is nuclear weapons aren't as easy to build or fire off as what a lot of people think. And the reason is that the explosion that actually compacts the fissile material has to be done in just the right fashion so that it achieves the critical mass and it will blow up as a nuclear explosion. And that's why sometimes a nuclear weapon can actually kind of fizzle. I remember as a kid playing with firecrackers, every once in a while you get a firecracker that didn't explode, it just kind of went and that was it. It fizzled out. And so if they dropped a nuclear bomb, let's say, on a site that had nuclear weapons, I'm not by any means an expert on nuclear weapons, but in some cases, it may be that it's not going to cause them to go off, you know, in a compound series of explosions. It would cause some problems and may actually cause more radioactive material to be dispersed, but also a lot of nuclear facilities and missile silos are hardened to be able to resist some bombs. And some countries like, let's say, Iraq, have missiles that could lob a nuclear warhead from Iraq over to Israel. However, getting a missile that can burrow down and penetrate through the barriers of a hardened missile silo that Israel would have is another thing. I mean, you know, if you had a missile that was buried, let's say, 100 feet underground, It would be, unless you had a warhead that was designed to burrow 100 feet underground and then go through concrete and steel and everything, most of the energy from that nuclear explosion, as big as it may be, is all going to just sort of be reflected back up into the sky from the ground itself. It won't scoop out a huge crater in the ground.
Would that entail like the one-third of a destruction on land?
Could you repeat that again, please?
Would that, like if it blew up, would that have something to do with one-third?
During the tribulation. I think there could be some of that going on, but that would probably more a series of nuclear weapons being used in a warfare situation or in a series of attacks where just significant numbers of people are killed from the blast and from the radiation, as opposed to actually trying to take out a nuclear weapon that's in the ground in a silo, for instance, because I personally believe there's a coming nuclear war that's going to devastate Egypt and Lebanon and Jordan and Syria. I think that you can see that in the Bible, and a lot of life will be lost at that time. And then certainly during the tribulation period, there's a number of things that take place, wars and things. And there's also some other things that take place. I think Wormwood in the book of Revelation is probably a comet, and there's also meteors that come down and cause a lot of devastation on the earth. So those things will certainly cause a lot of devastation. A large enough comet or asteroid hitting the earth could easily wipe out one-third of the world's population. But by the grace of God.
And there's
other ways that a large number of or a large part of the Earth's population could be wiped out. For people who are familiar with the concept of an electromagnetic pulse attack, there's some speculation that if we were attacked in that fashion, that would mean exploding one or more nuclear weapons at certain altitude over the United States or over parts of the United States that would take out all of our electronics, your cell phone, your radio, your TV, your computer, your refrigerator, your freezer, your electric oven, your furnace that runs off from electricity, the pump that pumps the gasoline out of the ground into the tank of your car, the computer that chips that run your car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of estimates is that 90% of the United States population would be dead a year later.
Oh, my God.
You know, think about that. 1 out of 10 people surviving in a year's time.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was a kid, tell us, about nuclear bomb shelters. Just the bomb shelters.
Yeah, and we have a lot of them around, and a lot of them were radiation shelters too. Because remember, they used to have the little radioactive symbol on them, and for the bomb shelters, I remember the old Cuyahoga Falls post office, the 4-H agent for Summit County had his office there, and in the back it was a bomb shelter, and there was bins of crackers and water in there in case of an attack. And I even remember our grade school, Richfield Elementary School, had one of those fallout shelter, what it was called, and it had the little radiation symbol on there, and there was a room underneath the front steps of the school that had some bins of crackers, these big thick crackers and tins of water that were stored there, and people were supposed to hide in there to avoid the radioactive fallout. Uh-huh. And there's ways that people can prepare for stuff like that today, but a lot of it, if you were ground center of a nuclear attack, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call tonight, Barb, and I guess I'd say the best preparation is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And hopefully we'll be out of here before that happens. That would be the hope.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that tonight.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Claudia calling from Mogador tonight. And Claudia, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, good evening. And I just want to say, may you and your family have a blessed new year.
Well, thank you, and happy new year to you as well.
And I just want to thank you for not being one of these prissy preachers. And I thank you for letting us know the straight truth out of God's Word, the Bible.
Well, I appreciate that. That's one of the reasons we started the program is to try and, I thought it would be nice, our church thought it would be nice, that we could have a way that we could just simply take God's Word and, like our first caller this evening, you know, look at what's happening in the world and try to apply God's Word to it.
Makes and sense that's muchly appreciated because, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you and have a blessed evening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And God bless you and have a happy new year yourself.
And thank you, sir.
Thank
good
you
night.
So much. Appreciate it. Good night. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to go back to a verse that I mentioned with a previous caller here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 again. And let me read that again. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." And, you know, I had a friend of mine asked me to preach down in Copley, Ohio, sometime a while back at Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio, and Pastor Max McKenna down there. In fact, if you're on the west side of Akron, the northwest side of Akron, or Copley, Norton, Farallon, Wadsworth area, anywhere in that area, let me recommend Crusade Baptist Church on Copley Road. If you're familiar with the area, it's just east of Jacoby Road just west of Jacoby Road and east of Copley Circle. And Pastor Max McKenna there, great man, loves God, loves God's people, and it's a great church. And he asked me to preach one time on this very verse, 1 Chronicles 12:32. And you know, I appreciated that opportunity because I looked at this and I think, you know, that's God does call people into certain ministries. And I kind of think that maybe our church and myself as a pastor, this is part of my ministry to be like the children of Issachar, to hopefully have some understanding of what's happening in the world around us, and then to be able to relate that to God's people, to help people to see how to make sense of what's happening in the world, how to take God's word and use that as a filter to be able to understand what's happening in the world today. And so we hope that's a blessing to you. And if I had to pick a verse for our ministry on the radio, this would be a great verse, I guess. So we could call it the Issachar ministry, I suppose, if we went that route. But hopefully that we are a blessing to you, and we do have some understanding of the times that we can help you and guide you in how to make sense of what's happening in the world and understand it as a believer, and that we can use that also to encourage people who are not saved to realize that there is truth in the Bible. The Bible's not a dusty old book, just a relic, but it's a book that's very alive and able to guide us and help us even today in our modern world. And hopefully if that makes sense, people will be willing to consider the claims of the Word of God and then be able to trust Christ as their Savior. Well, again, we've got a couple callers waiting here for us. We've got John in Euclid, Ohio waiting. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yes.
Good evening.
Thank you, Pastor Allen.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Sorry, I guess the phone's
little bottom of the barrel sort of sound.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I just try to ask this question quickly, and hopefully you'll be able to hear it all right. But
alrighty.
Acts chapter 19.
Uh huh.
And you know, Paul had he found some. In verse 1, it says he came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And this was, I think, the next two verses are the key. And he said unto them, "Unto them, what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto
right.
John's baptism." Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot there. But there's a lot of questions I can put to this, and it'll take up all time. But when he answers them in verse 4, he says, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
They should believe on him who should come after him. So is that saying, because, I mean, John the Baptist, when he came, he's in the wilderness and he's preaching, he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then when the Lord Jesus came, he said, repent, the kingdom, you know, same, kind of the same thing. I mean, but, of course, John said, you know, the one who comes after me is much greater than I.
Right.
And, but is there, I try to formulate this question, then, is there a difference? Because obviously, they were baptized under John's baptism, but they're asking about the Holy Ghost. He asked them, and they said we never even heard there even is a Holy Ghost.
Right.
So, here's the question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Were these disciples on? Were they saved at that point, or is it after? Because then he said when they heard this, they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul was laid his hands upon the Holy Ghost, came on them. With tongues and prophesied, all the men were about 12.
Right.
I mean, they were baptized onto repentance, but it seemed something was missing.
Yeah, let me see if I can touch on that, someone kind of cut into that, because in Luke chapter 3, it talks about John preaching in the wilderness, and in verse 3 it says he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and then he's also talking about the Messiah who's going to come. And if you look at what John was preaching, he was there to make people ready to receive Christ as their Messiah. And that's why later on when Jesus came, he pointed out and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. But he was calling the people to acknowledge their sin and to turn from their sin and to be willing to accept the Messiah when he came. And that's kind of, I think, what the baptism was representing too there, that they were turning from their sin and they were going to follow the Messiah when he came. And John's role was to point out who the Messiah was. Now, when Jesus came, not everybody who was baptized by John in the Jordan would have seen him, because some of them were only there for a time and then they left. They traveled back. These people were up in Corinth, for instance, and up in Ephesus and that area up through there. And so they may have been in the area around Jerusalem and in time to hear John preaching and come under conviction, but in a sense, they did not know the whole truth as yet. And so when Paul comes on the scene here in Acts chapter 19, these are people who when they heard Paul preaching, they realized that he was fulfilling what John was talking about. John was telling them to get ready for the Messiah who would come. Paul's now telling them who the Messiah is, and he asked them if they'd received the Holy Ghost. So he would have said, you know, about how you receive the Holy Ghost when they realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't have any idea about the Holy Ghost or anything. And so he began teaching them on that, and that's what he says in verse 4, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now they found the fulfillment of what John was talking about. And as they heard that and they accepted the message, they received Christ as their Savior. And now because they're new Christians, they're baptized. And, of course, the Holy Ghost came upon them and showed Paul and the others that these people had indeed become true believers in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and that's where they spake in other tongues and prophesied. So I hope that that'll help you there, John. Does that help out a little bit?
Very, very, very much explains it, what I was wondering, because, right, John was preparing the way, right? You could, I guess you'd say he was almost preaching the law, like showing them, you know,
yeah.
Okay, to be a schoolmaster, to lead him to Christ. Yeah, I think that's right. And just to briefly, I know you probably got to hurry up, but then, you know, like people will say that there, like in verse 6, where he laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came out, and then they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I've heard this before, where someone will say, see, that's what when somebody, they'll, you know, like kind of Pentecostals will say, well, see, this is the case. See, the Holy Ghost came out of them, and they spoke with tongues. So there's an evidence that they're, you know,
well,
that's what happens when the Holy Ghost comes on.
I would say that this was an evidence the Holy Ghost came upon them, but it didn't. It wasn't manifested every time, because
that's the question.
And now we know, of course, and you have to remember too, Acts is a transition book, and so now we know that as the gospel was revealed into these different groups of people, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now, certainly, when we trust Christ as our Savior, and you read in Paul's later writings, you know, in Corinthians and different things like Romans and different things, we know that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. And so we are baptized in the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation. And in no way in the book of Acts even did everybody that was baptized in the Holy Ghost speak in tongues. But there were occasions where they did, to show that this was genuinely a work of God to the Jewish people, who sometimes were reluctant to believe, especially back in Acts chapter 10 and 11, with the case of Cornelius and the Gentiles in Caesarea. So I hope that helps out there, John. I got another caller I got to squeeze in before we run
thank
out of time.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Okay, appreciate that question. That is a good question.
You.
So thanks for that. And we've got Joyce calling in from Willoughby tonight. Joyce, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Just a general question.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of John and in the Gospels, it talks about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter,
right.
Send another Holy Ghost. But we always call it usually Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't see a lot of Holy Spirit in there, but there's always a lot of Holy Ghost, and it's like we're afraid of saying ghost or something. Or why is it mostly Holy Ghost and not a lot of Holy Script or Holy Spirit?
Yeah, well, Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are synonymous. I mean, a ghost and a spirit is the same thing. Pardon?
The wording. It's just strange.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I don't know that we really see the term Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. I think that mostly occurs in the New Testament. I think the Old Testament is almost exclusively spirit. And but they are pretty much synonymous. I think some people try to, you know, make a great deal out of the usage of the two terms. But, you know, if you gave up your spirit, you would die. And if you gave up the ghost, you would die. It's the same thing. In fact, in Old English, somebody ghosted, meaning that they died because they gave up the ghost. Their spirit departed from them. And so we'll use those terms, you know, ourselves interchangeably. So when we see spirit and we see Holy Ghost in the Bible, I think most times it comes from the Greek word pneuma and, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. I said it right. Holy Ghost comes from pneuma. But when we see spirit, that comes from pneuma as well. So, they're synonymous terms. So,
we just tend to shy away from Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
instead of just saying the Spirit, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So I think you could use them pretty much interchangeably.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate that call. That is a good question, and Happy New Year to you as well tonight. And again, I want to thank everybody for our callers tonight. I want to thank our listeners, and I want to thank you for making it possible for your prayers for us to be on the air. And as we approach 2016, like I said, this is our first Sunday night program. I was actually on the air live on Friday here in the local northeastern Ohio area. And so this is, for me, it's the second program of the new year. But again, I appreciate your prayers during the coming year. We can't do it without you. You know, it's your prayers, it's your calls, it's those things that make the program possible. So I want to thank you for that. I encourage you to pray for us. I encourage you to read your Bible during the coming year. Happy New Year. God bless you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.